Podtacular 324, War Games Mayhem, for October 25th, 2012.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dustor.
I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And today we are Daphilus because he has some homework and he hasn't been getting some sleep as of late because of classes and everything else. So he's taking the podcast off. He will be back on very shortly. But today we have a very special guest with us in light of some of the content that has come out in the bulletin today. So we have Pete the Duck.
Hey guys.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I've never been on a podcast before, so I'm very excited.
Oh boy, we have a podcast noob over here. Yeah. It's okay, we will educate you, and hopefully you will enjoy this podcast experience.
Everyone remembers their first.
be gentle.
Very distinctly, yes. Oh, we'll be gentle, all right. Yeah, that was a little awkward. Anyways, Pete the Duck has a YouTube channel, Pete the Duck, and he does some interesting little Forge pieces. That's why we have him on the show tonight. So why don't you go ahead and kind of introduce yourself, how you got started with Halo, and kind of where you fit in with the rest of the Halo community.
Well, it all started like 11 years ago. I've been a Halo fan for a while. It actually started with an issue of PC Gamer magazine, if you can believe that. So I'm definitely old school Halo fan. Man. And then I got involved with halo.bungie.org, and I stuck around there for years and years and years. I harassed Louis Wu quite a bit, and in the past 2 years, I got really into Forge. And in the past year, I'd been working on a lot of different projects. I did Last Forger Standing, if anyone saw that. It was a fun little Forge series, and recently I've been doing Forge with Pete. But, you know, I'm just a guy that likes to Forge. Forge is a lot of fun, and that's how I get my kicks. So it's been fun to put these videos together and share them with people.
Interesting thing that keeps on going through my mind when I watch these videos, especially the Forge quacks, is I'm wondering how much of that's actually going to kind of transfer over to Halo 4 Forge.
You know, I think a lot of them are probably going to apply right to Halo 4. I would be really surprised if they didn't.
Yeah, me too. I think for the most part, the system's going to be pretty much the same, and we'll get into this a little later, but if we look at the whole Forge list, it's pretty similar to how it was in Halo Reach and Halo 3, kind of the set of objects that you can use.
Yeah, there are very few objects that are not there from Halo Reach, and I think that's actually a really good idea, the way that 343 Industries kept those objects around, because we're so used to using them that if we were forging in Halo 4, we would say, oh, I want, you know, a long bridge or something like that, or a two-story tower. And if you didn't have those, I think you would really miss them. So I'm glad to see that those are going to be still around.
Right. They didn't add too much, though, either.
On impact, they added a whole new structure set, which is cool. But in general, there's not a shockingly large amount of new objects, no.
Right.
There is a shocking objective type that I don't think anybody's talked about yet. I might be wrong, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen the full list of game types yet with some of the object listings that we have in the list of forgeable objects.
We'll have to see if I can extract that information from you later.
Ah, ha, ha. Ah, ha, ha. Oh, yeah. That was good.
They call that foreshadowing, people.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
We do that quite a
dun,
lot
dun,
here on
dun.
The show.
Indeed. So about how many views do you get for your little Forge episodes that you do?
Not very many. I don't have a lot of followers or views or anything like that. Right. I don't really do it for that. It's just for fun.
It's like just hundreds, right?
Yeah, hundreds.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's decent. And, you know, I think the thing to keep in mind is I do it for the community, and I do it because I love to do it. It's not to be popular or to get a bunch of hits. I mean, that stuff doesn't really matter. It's just, this is stuff that I would be doing on my own anyway. And just making videos from it is just like a fun little bonus, being able to share that with the community.
Right. So, well, yeah. All the Forge quacks, that's the part I really like that from the stuff that you do, because there's only maybe been two or three of them that I've already known previously, and the rest of them, it's like, wow, I didn't really know that about Forge.
Yeah, I'm really glad I started that series, just because it's great to have these videos and be able to, hey, you know, did you know Forge can do this? And have that resource, just like a big list of kind of stuff you didn't know about. And some of them are really cool. And, you know, I've had some community members actually suggest stuff to me that even I didn't have any idea about. And it's like, wow, you can do that in Forge, or that happens. Why does that happen? That doesn't make sense. And it's been really fun. So I've really enjoyed putting that series together.
Cool.
Yeah.
And another part is I know you do a lot with the Halo ball game type. And that kind of branches off of kind of the insane game type that Bungie dropped on us. And there's probably parts of that game type that we haven't even haven't explored yet in Halo Reach.
Oh, man. I mean, like, if you've watched the Forge with Pete series, almost every Forge with Pete project has used Halo Ball. And I'll tell you right now, like, we have not even scratched the surface of what it can do. It is so versatile. It's crazy. I mean, you can do so many. It is the single most versatile thing that has ever happened to Forge. You can use it for almost anything. So I love me some Halo Ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many different kind of Halo Ball modes/maps have you made so far?
A lot. I made tic-tac-toe with Halo Ball. I don't know if you guys saw that video. I made a battleship game using Halo Ball. And, of course, I made Halo Pinball. And just recently I released Guitar Halo. I don't know if you've seen that video.
Yes.
So, I mean, you can use it for just about anything that you can think of. One way or another, you can probably get it done using Halo Ball. It's pretty crazy. It's ridiculous. And I have to give a shout out. I don't know exactly what inspired Bungie to make Halo Ball, but there was a guy, I'm probably going to mispronounce his name. His name was something like Boandres. And he created Skee-Ball using, I think it was the stockpile game type. And Bungie saw that. And then a couple months later, they actually released Skee-Ball using the Halo Ball game type they created. So in my mind, it might not be true or not, but I think he actually pushed Bungie to make that game type available. So I think that guy definitely deserves a shout out.
Very nice. All right. So that's our little introduction, unless you had anything else you wanted to kind of bring up. I know you're mainly just YouTube, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I got 343 has been great, and they put Forge Repeat on Waypoint, so you might see the videos on there. But that's it. You know, I'm a big part. Well, I don't post that often. I'm associated with the halo.bungie.org community, so I'm there, and I have my website at idleduck.com and my YouTube channel. So that's pretty much it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. All right. So now we're going to take a look at some of the bulletin stuff that we got for today. It actually came out, and we're recording this on Thursday. I guess just wanted to add some extra stuff and didn't quite get it out yesterday, but we have some time now to talk about everything. Starting off, we have 11 days. Actually, as of this recording, 12 days, but when you hear this, it'll be 11 days until Halo 4 comes out. So close. It's, oh my goodness, I am so ready for this game.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys haven't played Halo 4 yet, but I can't wait.
It's actually getting painful to watch these Halo 4 gameplay videos because I want to play it so bad.
And the funny thing is, it's like I've played it and I've seen those videos and I'm like, dang it, I still want to play it. That's how good it is.
You know, I'm jealous knowing that out there somewhere, somebody's playing Halo 4 and I'm not.
Yeah, there's hundreds of people already playing and already getting their rank up.
And then they're tweeting about it, and that just drives me up the wall.
Yeah.
Just kidding. You guys are great.
Well, I mean, it's like a reset. I don't know. I would think that would make the most sense.
I don't know. I'm not sure how they would do that. Because now there's legitimate copies out there, like review people and stuff like that. So I don't know if they would release
them. Well, there's the illegitimate copies too.
Yeah.
That's the flip side of that. So that might be a reason for them to do a whole stat reset day one.
Well, that's what they get for enjoying the game before I do. So yeah. Too bad. Technically, they have a leg up on you anyway. I mean, just playing those maps give you an advantage.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you understand the map layout, the flow of the map. It's a lot more than...
I mean, go ahead.
It's a lot more of than just having played Halo before. There's a lot of, and you see this a lot when you get into the competitive play, but just understanding map flows, where weapon spawns, timings on weapon spawns, and just kind of a few other things. Where's the best hiding spots? Where can you kind of run away if someone's shooting you? And just all that knowledge you get by playing early, and you have a major leg up on people that play afterwards.
That's why you should always start out by playing Forge.
Yeah.
A campaign? Not campaign?
Nope, no. Straight Forge.
No?
Well, there's going to be a campaign in Halo 4? I thought it was just Forge. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I got to do campaign Forge.
Ha, ha, ha.
I'm not playing campaign until Halo 5 comes out. Like, the day before Halo 5. Going to play it and be like, wow, this is pretty great. Did you guys play this? Then Halo 5 is going to come out and be like, oh.
Sorry to say, there's going to be many spoilers on the way. We probably won't see you again for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we have, yes, 12 days, 11 days probably when you're hearing this, or even fewer than that, depending on when you actually download it.
It might already be out, and you're just listening to this episode for no reason. Why are you not playing Halo 4?
You're listening it way, way back in the past.
Well, you might be listening and playing at the same time.
Could be.
Like making fun of us, like, yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure why someone would be interested in listening to us while they're playing the game. I think the game's a little bit more important, but
I've listened to podcasts and played Halo before.
Oh, I couldn't do it. I get too focused on one thing at a time. Heck, I have a hard time focusing on a podcast when I'm driving to work.
So, I kind of weave in and out of the podcast. Like, when I hear something that interests me, I'll be like, oh, yeah, and then I'll listen to that. But the rest of the time, it's just background noise.
Well, then it's like whenever I'm cooking something and I have my speakers kind of turned to where I can hear some of it. And if I'm in the middle of cooking something and I hear something that I didn't quite understand or get the full details of, I have to go back, rewind about 2 minutes, and then play it up until the point where it's like, oh, there we go. That was funny.
And then it was, like, disappointing. You're like, oh.
No, it's usually pretty good. It's just I didn't get the full effect of hearing it through all the way.
So what if you're listening to a cooking podcast, and the time that it took for you to rewind, you've already ruined your meal?
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. Okay. We have a couple of videos that got released, the first one being the scanned trailer. And I'm assuming at this point, it's pretty much the Didact, right?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So I think...
Harold Ramis, the Didact.
At this point, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to call him that. If he's something else, then he's just the Didact to me.
Right. So, we're calling it the Didact. I think everyone else thinks it's the Didact. Even the RUL rap video says Didact in it. So we're pretty sure it's the Didact. And that's not just a spoiler, people.
Just to be contrarian, I'm going to say it's Regret. Regret is back, and he's got some new armor.
Regret,
he is mad as hell.
You freaking punched his skull out.
That's why he's mad.
That would do it. Man, can you imagine how pissed Keyes is?
Oh, yeah. Keyes returns. Both of them. They joined together.
They teamed up.
Wait, we just talked about the other day how Keyes was absorbed by Flood.
Exactly.
I don't think that exactly works out. We can
all retcon that stuff in.
That exactly.
You can retcon anything.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose so. You could, yes.
Hey, there's unicorn armor in Halo 4. I think.
Okay, which looks stupid in my opinion, to be perfectly honest. I got dropped into a game with that as my armor piece on. I'm like, what the heck is this?
Oh.
Did you commit suicide?
I played the game out with the unicorn helmet on, and then after the game, I promptly went back and changed it to something else. I changed it to a Mark VI.
It's the new Hayabusa, except it cost a lot of money to get it.
I'm sorry, Hayabusa looks a lot better than the unicorn helmet.
I'm really sad to actually admit that you're right about that.
No offense to 343, it just looks really stupid.
Well, we'll be talking about an even more absurd helmet in a second. I don't know if it's more absurd, but it's still absurd in a way. In its own special way.
It looks a little bit more realistic, though, than a giant horn.
I mean,
horns.
It's realistic, but it's realistic in a weird kind of retro way.
Yeah, we'll get to it in a little bit. But going back to the two videos, we had Scanned, which was where the Didact was walking up to Chief, and he had some flashbacks of Chief's childhood and then going through all the training, getting his armor put on, and finding the Prometheans. And I saw somewhere it was basically him kind of scanning to find out where his strength came from. I don't remember where I saw that.
It was the description on
Halo
Waypoint.
Okay.
When they posted the video. He was looking for the Master Chief's weakness, and in doing so, he found his strength. Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. That was it then.
All of his strength is based in that one scene where his mom is going, John! John!
And then it flashes back to Cortana.
Yeah. That's where all the strength is held up.
I like the abduction scene where they put the Flash clone in this place in the bed.
It's kind of creepy. Yeah. Like that dude just kind of
nods. Creepy,
it's
creepy, but
yeah, that's the kid.
It's creepy, but it's like it fits.
I mean, it's supposed to be creepy.
Yeah,
the whole idea is weird. That kid's gonna die. I mean, the one in the bed.
And
that one clone's death.
Oh my gosh! Have you guys heard the I Love Bees story? The audio story?
No.
Go to ilovebees.com. Let me make sure that's the right website before I say that. Before I say website address on the podcast.
Ilovebees.com. That might be something completely different now.
It used to be an ARG, and it had an audio story, and one of the elements was one of the flash clones.
Like oh,
that
really?
That they replace the children that are abducted. And
wasn't the I Love Bees for like a Halo 2 ARG campaign?
Halo.
I think it was Halo 2.
No, it was Halo 2. They didn't have anything for Halo 1.
Yeah, but anytime
Halo 1 was Halo. It was brand new.
Yeah. It's definitely worth listening to. And there's a bit with one of the Flash clones that replaces one of the kids, and it's like, once you listen to that, it'll jump into your mind.
Oops. How would it feel to be a Flash clone?
Not very good, apparently, according to them.
Just real bad, like, I have no clue. I don't know where this is going.
This is
I know that I missed, we didn't get a real ARG out of Halo 4.
Isn't there one that's happening right now? Evil Awakens, isn't that what that is? It's hashtag Evil Awakens.
I don't know if it's necessarily an ARG per se, but...
ARG!
In the sense, I guess it kind of is.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't go as deep as something like I Love Bees.
No.
Or Iris.
Well, the Halo 3 one, the Iris, that was pretty cool. I'm still pissed that I didn't get my package for being one of the first 100 to access one of the terminals.
It doesn't matter. When Halo 4 comes out, you're going to be too busy playing to care about ARGs. No, it wasn't hard. Oh, God, don't talk.
Well, the reason I didn't get it is because my Xbox Live account was still marked as a child account.
Oh.
And apparently they wouldn't send it to that. And it's like, well, that sucks.
Oops.
And I couldn't, I went in to go change it. And after I changed it, they wouldn't let me do it again. So I was 87th for the second Iris thing that came out, and I didn't get my package. So. A little sad, but
yeah,
can't do anything about it now. Instead, I get to go to VIP parties.
You showed them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take that, Bungie. No, it's all cool. It's all cool. I don't
sure?
blame them for anything. It's just.
Do you want to talk about it some more?
No, I'm fine.
How did that make you feel?
I don't care anymore. How about that? I don't hold a grudge against Bungie. They made fantastic games, and I appreciate the work that they did for all the Halo games thus far.
Oh, yeah. We all love Bungie.
Oh, yeah. So the next trailer that we had actually came out yesterday as of this recording, and it's the Halo 4 launch gameplay trailer with the infamous words, the Forerunners are back, or have returned, I guess. Dun-dun-dun.
That was a great trailer. I like that a lot.
It was.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about that trailer, though, is I'm reading through Cryptum right now, and... A couple days ago, I got to the part where, and if you guys haven't read the books yet, this is spoilers, so you might want to jump ahead a couple minutes, but I got to the segment, I hope this isn't spoiling for you guys.
I haven't read it, but that's okay.
Okay. Well, there's a part in there where Born Stellar goes down into some kind of sand pit and touches this foreign artifact, and activates the rebirth of the Didact, which is almost what Chief is doing here.
Yeah, in the trailer.
Yeah. So once I saw that, I saw an instant connection. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So it's definitely a cryptum, and we are bringing the Didact back, I guess, for a second time.
See, they should have put a sign like, do not press, do not touch.
Beware so apparently Didact. For the Forerunners, it's pretty much known that you do not disturb a cryptum. It's pretty much forbidden.
Why is that?
You're pretty much desecrating a coffin kind of thing. I don't know the full details of it because the writing style of Greg Bear is really, really different. If Grimm was on the show, he would be able to explain it a lot better than me. But a cryptum is basically a tomb where they put the bodies, and what they do is the ancilla that are attached to all the Forerunner's armor takes basically snapshots of your brain, so you have pretty much an established neural network that gets flash copied onto something, so if you do get revived, you pretty much get this information, this neural pattern downloaded back into you, and it holds most of your memories and restores your brain function.
So is it
that's how to be like that's a, how I understand it to work.
Is it supposed to be a prison or some kind of coffin or both?
There are rare cases where it actually acts as a prison, but it's supposed to be a coffin, basically a peaceful rest. But in the Didact's case for this, it's actually meant to be a prison. Hmm. So spoiler end.
So does anybody have any idea why there are two different color Forerunner Knights or Promethean Knights in Halo 4?
The thought of that is they're blue during the nighttime and then they're orange during the daytime. That's the current widely held belief. Way.
Or no. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
It's blue at night.
Yeah, they're like camoed.
Orange at the day.
Hmm. So like it's harder to see the orange during the day or whatever and harder to see the blue at night. Active camo.
Yeah. Well, not well. I guess
not
in
active
sense,
camo in the way you're thinking of, but
they actively change in order to kind of help camouflage
camo.
Themselves. Hmm. All right.
Except it's not camo; it's lights.
Wait a second.
I want a disco.
Weren't the Prometheans in the scan trailer orange when they were walking around? And wasn't it kind of like dark time?
They were in a cave.
Dark.
Though. It might have been daylight outside.
Okay. Okay.
But wait, isn't it always daylight on Requiem?
I wouldn't think so. Hmm. I would assume it would get simulated day and night. That'd be my guess. Because we have seen the campaign gameplay where it is nighttime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see. That's the first thing I'm going to check. I'm going to load up campaign, and I'm going to look for the sun and see what happens.
I don't think you're going to see it dynamically go through the sky.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe I won't do that. Though. Maybe I'll just load up Forge instead. Yeah.
Well, you are Pete the Duck and you like to forage, so it would make sense. But moving along.
The options menu. Just sit there all day.
Yeah, we'll get to that here. The next thing in the bulletin is the evolution of Cortana. So last week we had the evolution of Chief and we saw how his armor pretty much changed from one game to the next. And then the evolution of Cortana, we have the same thing for her. I don't know which one I like better, Halo 3 or Halo 4 Cortana, because they both look really good. The Halo 4 one is definitely more detailed than Halo 3, but I really like the Halo 3 Cortana.
I like the brightness of the Halo 3 Cortana.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's shiny, and you know how much I like shiny things.
Shiny. Yeah.
At the same time, the Halo 4 Cortana has much larger eyes. Like, significantly larger than in Halo 3.
And larger breasts.
Halo 4 Cortana just makes me feel a little awkward. Like, something... she needs, like, a cover-up or, like...
She's getting into that, like, kind of uncanny valley. I mean, she's, like, getting so detailed to the point where it's almost like you're looking at a naked woman, kind of.
Well, I mean, isn't that
what
she, that's
Halo
what she's
games,
basically...
I mean, you could tell that was... I mean, the markings on it, you could, like, say, yeah, that's an AI, whatever. And in Halo 4, it's just like, yeah, man.
It's blurring the lines. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, that's realistic. I mean, I don't care personally, but...
Well, the parts that are supposed to be transparent aren't really as transparent as you would think they would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean...
I think a little transparency would go a long way.
Yeah.
Well, the game's done. See, now. We don't have any say in the matter anymore.
Transparency.
Change the transparency. I don't think we can... I mean, the game's done, so... unfortunately, if they haven't changed that. Although they did say early on that they did have transparency issues, so depending on when the snapshot of this Cortana model was taken, maybe that's why.
Do you guys remember during the announcement, I think it was at E3 when they first showed off Halo 4 and Cortana popped in on the HUD when she was giving you a message about the Infinity and you could like see her face?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was kind of weird. Like, where is she transmitting from? Like, she's in your armor, right? So it's kind of like she's transmitting from your brain visually onto your screen.
Yes. I don't get that. I don't quite get that either.
Yeah.
Maybe you were dreaming about Cortana. It's like, oh.
I think 343 probably did that just to have the flow not be quite interrupted, because you do get other people that show up on your visor as well.
See, it makes sense for other people, because you can imagine them in front of a camera sending you a message.
Right.
I don't know about Cortana. I don't know if that's in the final version of Halo 4, or if that was just something to introduce people to Cortana in case they've never played Halo before or something like that. I don't know.
That's a good
question. I always thought that was a little weird.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, too. I could see a justification for it, but yeah, it still feels weird to people that have played before. Next up on the bulletin list is the 10th map. I know I accidentally said before that we had all the maps back when Meltdown was released, but now we have all 10 maps. So Vortex is the final map of the 10 map set, and it is a huge map. Unfortunately, Daft is not here. I think he would be very happy with this map, because it is wide open, designed for big team Infinity Slayer, other big team objectives, and Dominion. So this is where your big team is pretty much going to take place, or this is going to be one of the key maps where it does.
Yeah, it looks like a ton of fun. I mean, I can't wait to get on that map.
I mean, just the amount of space that's in there.
There's a lot of space.
I would think there's a tank. They would put a tank somewhere on that map just because of how big it is.
There needs to be
a mech on there.
Wasn't there one of the IGN interviews that they did? What is the other map? The one that's shaped like a donut. They just kept saying donut over and over again during the video, and now that's all I can think
Meltdown.
Of.
Meltdown.
No, yes. It was the one where they first showed off Capture the Flag.
Adrift.
No,
Haven.
Don't
Longbow. I'm going through all the maps right now.
I should
Complex. Adrift. Solace.
I don't know. It was not Vortex. That's the important part. And I think they said that that's the only one that has a Scorpion tank by default. So I don't know if there's going to be a Scorpion tank by default on Vortex.
Exile.
That's the one. Yep.
Oh, Exile. Okay.
Bullseye.
I think that's probably the only map I didn't list.
But yeah, man, so... Vortex looks great. I was watching the gameplay and, I mean, it's like if you're on foot, there's all these different ways you can go, but there's plenty of room for vehicles, and it looks great.
Well, I like the little lifts up to the kind of the center bridge area, the top mid part. I think there's two or three of them kind of on either ends of the bridge or the structure, whatever you want to call it. There is a video out there that Halo Waypoint uploaded to their YouTube, so if you haven't watched it yet, make sure you go check that out. The link will be in the show notes, or... Sorry, not the show notes. Yeah, a link will be in the show notes for that as well. But it's the gameplay in that it seems a little bit slower than the rest of the maps that we've seen, just because with how big it is, I think. But it still looks a lot of fun to play.
What kind of worried me was how effective the thruster pack / plasma grenade combo was in taking out Warthogs.
Well, I like the few instances where he threw a stick, he stuck to Warthog, and then dashed out of the way with a thruster pack.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, combo. You said plasma pistol.
No, I said plasma grenade.
Oh, I thought I heard pistol. Sorry.
Yeah, sticky.
Sticky.
So,
get it
yeah,
off!
The hog would come at him, trying to get a splatter. Whoever was playing threw the plasma grenade and then thrust packed out of the way. So it's kind of like the get out of the way button. We kind of saw that armor ability being used, you know, effectively for the first, or at least I did, for the first time in gameplay.
Right.
I'd seen it in other gameplay videos, you know, from the perspective of someone watching someone do it, but this was the first time I actually saw someone use it
in a
strategic capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I completely agree.
He's getting shot, and he's like, yep, thrust pack, whoop! Mm-hmm. Warthog coming at me, thrust pack, whoop!
Thrust pack is the new evade. I wouldn't be surprised if people just kept saying evade.
It is evade, I mean, but it's a different type of animation.
Right. Well, and you can do it while you're in midair, too.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
So, it just looked too effective, though, against that Warthog.
Well, I think we all probably learned from Halo Reach, don't drive directly at people.
But doesn't that kind of like ruin the thrill of splattering people? I mean, I'm not saying that Halo...
The thruster pack and evade, we've had people do that with evade on Halo Reach so far, and yeah, you get stuck. At least there's just no armor lock anymore.
Better than armor lock.
Oh yeah, much better. I mean, when you're armor locking... But you can kind of tell when someone's going to armor lock. If they're just, like, standing there waiting for you to splatter them and, like, not actively running out of the way, they're probably going to armor lock.
But there are people that'll just walk around and, I mean, they don't show signs that they have armor lock and they still use it just because they know how to actually use the armor ability.
I mean, you can do that just standing still if you have, like, the sniper rifle or, like, a sticky grenade and someone, like, starts shooting you and they're like, yeah, they're just standing there. I'm going to go in for the assassination. They run up and, like, start moving again, like, stick them or shoot them in the face. I've done that a lot. They think you're AFK, but you're secretly just waiting for the kill.
That's funny.
Yeah, but that video pretty much convinced me that I want to use thruster pack. I mean, it looks sweet.
Yeah. I mean, it looks cool. I'm going to definitely try it out, see if I like it compared to the other ones, the other armor abilities. Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of jetpack. What happened to that? Like who's?
I don't know.
I want to see that like in action.
Well,
I want to see.
So one of the things about the jetpack, from what I've heard, and I actually haven't used it personally, but it's been really nerfed. So you really can't go as high with the jetpack, and there's not as much fuel as there was in Halo Reach. That's one.
In Halo Reach, you could get from like.
You can get from the bomb of sword base to the top.
All the way up to the top.
Now you can. You're lucky. From what I've heard, it's like you're lucky to get half of that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised because I never really thought that jetpack needed nerfing.
No, I didn't think so either.
Yeah. But what I'm looking forward to is now that sprint
is default. I could be wrong, though.
I mean, because so often in Halo Reach, I would use sprint or evade just for mobility. And now since I'm going to have sprint as default, I can choose a different armor ability for actual tactical reasons instead of just trying to get around the map fast.
Right. I like the fact that they've really changed how the armor abilities are going to work and then throwing the sprint in there. Mm-hmm. I like that change of the game very much.
I think it's also interesting that the player wasn't very good with the binary rifle. That was funny to me.
Well, it's not that I don't think the player was necessarily good or bad with it, but when I played with the sniper and on Ragnarok, or it was some map I was playing on, but playing with the sniper, it's not as magnetic, so you know whenever you swipe over someone, even if you're not like zoomed in on them, there's still a little bit of a magnet effect to it. That's almost completely gone.
Well, I mean, with a binary rifle, though, you don't have to get a headshot. You can shoot them anywhere on their body, and it's a one-shot kill.
Well, and the most of the time, or correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like he was shooting at people in vehicles, which I honestly thought...
That's what I'm saying. That seemed ineffective. I'm glad he did it, because it shows me that the binary rifle is pretty ineffective as far as, like, you can't blow up a vehicle just shooting it with the binary rifle. Mm-hmm. I mean, with, like, one or two shots. Because he, like, shot at that Warthog twice, and it didn't blow up. So we know that it doesn't have, like, anti-vehicle properties, really. I'm sure if you just sit there and, like, plow binary rifle rounds into a Warthog, it's going to blow up eventually. But
yeah,
it's not like a, you know, like a rocket launcher type thing, or even a sniper rifle.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to me, it seems like that weapon was anti-infantry. You know, someone's running at me, just shoot them wherever, and they disintegrate. And the player wasn't using it in that capacity. He kept trying to shoot, like, I think he tried shooting at a ghost. I don't remember, but
he shot a ghost and a warthog. Yeah.
And didn't get any kills off of those two. He only got one kill off of one infantry guy.
Well, I think that's also one of those things where yeah, he did. It's also one of those situations, though, where it's like you shoot it just to see if you can land the shot.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, if you get lucky enough. Just,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, wait until you see this kill cam, you know?
There was a couple other things I noticed, too. With the binary rifle, for one, is whenever you're zoomed in, there's like a little laser beam that kind of shows where you're aiming to other players. So other players can actually see that you're zoomed in and you're targeting them. And that might be another reason why it's a little bit harder to get kills with the binary rifle, because it's basically just announcing, hey, I'm zoomed in on you. I'm about to shoot you.
You're about to get shot.
Exactly.
But I mean, if you're good enough, zoom in and kill them.
Yeah. Well, 343 said that they were that kind of ability to detect when a binary rifle was shooting at you. They said that was in there, and just now is the first time I actually either noticed it or we have a solid view of how it actually works.
But I mean, theoretically, you can be in a situation where even if they know they're going to get shot, it's too late, you know. I'm going to get shot. Boom. You're dead.
Mm-hmm. I also found it interesting how big the reticle was for the binary rifle when unzoomed.
Yeah, it's like it's not
it
a no-scope.
Huge.
Although I'm sure you can get no-scopes with it, but it's not like the sniper.
No.
You kind of need to zoom in with the binary rifle if you want some pinpoint accuracy going on. But still, I mean, if some dude's running in front of me and I've got the binary rifle, I'm not going to zoom in to kill him. I'm just going to shoot him. I'm going to get that reticle, you know, right in the center mass of him and take the shot. And it's probably even more effective than the sniper rifle in that situation, because it is one shot and you don't have to get a no-scope headshot.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of different applications. It's different than the sniper rifle, which is good. I didn't want just like a third sniper rifle in the game.
Yeah.
Right. It's a nice different play on how they did to introduce a new sniper into the game.
I like that Forerunner rocket launcher. I'm not sure where it's called.
The incineration cannon?
Oh, yeah. That was
pretty sweet.
So I didn't know this originally, but they had a lot longer shot of the incineration cannon. Like most of the gameplay I've seen, or whenever I've played it, have been so up close where you didn't really see what the projectile looked like. But it's actually five or six orbs that kind of rotate around this centralized, like, invisible beam that where in the direction that you shot. And then it all explodes and bounces out.
Mm.
I found that really interesting.
In and out. It's cool.
Yeah, it's like it's orbiting around some kind of central point as it's traveling along.
That's going to be the extermination gun right there. If everyone's all close together, looks like it'll definitely do some damage.
Well, with the whole quote-unquote splash thing with the extra orbs that go out, yeah, it's definitely going to be a power weapon that to be reckoned with.
Thrust away from the orbs. Thrust!
With your plasma pistol.
That was another thing I noticed. Dusty had already talked about the gun sounds in Halo 4, and I hadn't really had a chance to hear them that well, but in the video they did sound kind of suppressed, especially the plasma pistol.
Once you get headphones on and play it, it sounds a lot different, believe me.
Yeah, I thought they sounded really sharp.
You mean like while you're actually playing the game?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
okay.
The sniper rifle sounds like a monster. Like, I'm scared of that thing. It sounds like a beast.
I was just afraid because that plasma pistol sounded lame. I mean, I understand that, like, single shots on the plasma pistol sound lame, but, I mean, originally they at least had that kind of pew-pew kind of sound, you know, energy, and now this time it's like...
Mm-hmm.
It was like a pop gun. But, I mean, I don't know, obviously. Once I actually get to play the game and hear it in its native sound format, I think I'll enjoy it. I need to get some headphones for my Xbox. Get the real surround sound experience. The real fake surround sound experience.
One thing that stood out to me is it looks like all the projectiles, just in general, are a lot faster. Like the rocket and the concussion rifle, just everything that feels kind of slow in reach looks like it's a lot faster in Halo 4.
So that's kind of part of 343's effort to really speed up the game, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They like
and
it fast.
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
No.
No.
It still feels like a very even game. It's just, it's going to take a little bit more time for people to get used to it just because of how fast-paced it is now. So we'll see how that kind of has a greater effect on everyone. But
I think the nice change of pace from Reach.
Yeah.
Because Reach was kind of slower paced, especially with the DMR, you know, because I don't know how that kind of... I mean, the Reticule Bloom kind of slowed down that gameplay for me a bit, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough.
Halo 3 just seemed faster. That's all I'm saying. Seemed like it Reach? Went faster. Maybe it's just my memories failing me. I don't know.
It does...
I think it was, because you had the BR, you had the three shots. I don't know. It feels like Halo 3 was a lot faster.
Yeah, kind of going back to it. And I want to say that's not necessarily because of the game and the mechanics. I think that's more the maps, how the maps are designed. At least that's kind of my initial feeling for it.
Yeah, but I mean, in Reach, you can sprint, you can jetpack. I mean, with jetpack, you can get anywhere on a vertical map that you want to get. Without having to, you know, run around and go to a vent or run up ramps, whatever.
True.
I've been thinking a lot about Construct lately.
I was just thinking about the exact same map when you said jetpacks.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Waterworks.
Ooh.
To me, this new map kind of seems like Waterworks in a way. Vortex has that. It's like a smaller version of Waterworks.
Okay, if it doesn't have stalactites.
Bridge area, you know, actually in Halo 2, that central bridge area didn't see a lot of action. Most of the action happened on the sides. I mean, you could go down the middle. All the action happened on that middle bridge, but on the actual bridge itself, like, yeah, usually it was just somebody with a sniper rifle standing up there. You go up and assassinate him, take his rifle, but in Vortex, it seems like the middle bridge is where most of the action's going on. Kind of the center of the map. Now, I don't know how that's going to play out in objective game types. We didn't really get a good look at the bases, I don't think, just out of that video, because everybody was running towards the center to kill each other.
Yeah, because it was Slayer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one thing, just looking at all these maps, I'm actually really happy with the loadouts that we're going to get in Halo 4, that you're going to be able to start with a good weapon, and you're not going to have to go hunt through the map to find one. Because, I mean, in so many Halo Reach, Halo 3 maps, like, the map is just littered with guns everywhere. And I don't think that's going to be the case in Halo 4, because you're going to be able to start with such good weapons that the only weapons on the map are going to be, like, the, you know, two or three power weapons, and that's it.
Not a bunch of assault rifles lying around?
Yeah.
But, I mean, does that mean that the power weapons are even more important this time around?
It kind of seems with the weapon drops that you can get... what are they called?
The ordnance drops.
Ordnance
kind of seems like they might even be less important because you're going to get your personal ordnance drops too. So I don't know.
The ordnance drop that the player got during the match was kind of lame. He got a concussion rifle. Don't remember what that other thing was, and armor upgrade, overshield. And he chose the concussion rifle. I don't know why. But he got a kill with it.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
I'm trying to remember what that other thing was that he didn't choose. It was like uninteresting. It was like a pistol or something.
I thought it was... No, a sticky detonator.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't choose the sticky detonator?
No, it was... Yeah, I think it was a concussion rifle, sticky detonator.
Okay, wait, I'm on it right now. Watching. Okay, he got killed. He's dying. Ordnance ready. It's a needler.
Oh, is it a needler?
He had the choice between a concussion rifle, a needler, or overshield, and he went with concussion rifle.
Okay. So. I guess at first glance, I thought it was a sticky detonator.
On that note, the needler looks really cool this time around. Just the effect on the needles. It's kind of like a gradient effect where the top of the needles are kind of pale and the bottom are kind of real pink, real vibrant.
Full of energy.
Yes, full of radiation, ready to blow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I love needlers. I've always loved needlers, even since Halo 2.
They're just fun.
It's just fun to watch pink shards jam into somebody and then they blow up.
And they have that moment when they know they're doomed and there's nothing they can do about it. And then they explode.
It's like, oh no! You sank my battleship.
Okay. So, let's go ahead and move on unless there's anything else that you guys want to mention about Vortex that you saw.
You know, one thing, all these Halo 4 maps, as I watch these gameplay videos, I keep looking at them and I'm thinking, that would look so cool for a machinima. It's like you could use this for some scene or something like that. Like, these maps are really good looking. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks that way.
No, I think the maps are really, really beautiful. I mean, we saw that on Exile with just how lush and kind of the whole environment there. I thought it looked really pretty.
Yeah.
So far, I've liked Exile and Meltdown the most as far as just environment, you know, kind of the colors in the environment, the shapes, the contrast in colors.
I think Adrift looks really cool.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the kind of maps that people make on Impact. And we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get into that. That's actually
space maps.
The next section. Well, there's another Oni Section 3 bit. So there's another symbol that got released. I haven't decoded it yet. I'm sure someone else has somewhere on HBO or NeoGAF.
Yeah.
We're kind of saving those for a little bit later when they all come in. So if you're working on that puzzle, good for you. There's been 7 of these symbols released so far. Yep. And I'm assuming, like, probably either around November 1st or whenever the game comes out, we'll have a full set of 10. And we'll be able to go onto Halo Waypoint, go into the terminal, and enter in all the codes and figure out what it is.
Turn out to be sure to drink Mountain Dew. They'll be like, damn it! It was an okay. ad! That was a Christmas Story reference. You're welcome.
Not ringing a bell. Sorry.
You've never watched A Christmas Story?
No.
Did they have Mountain Dew in there or something?
No, there was a scene where
they had double XP.
The little boy is he's got a little orphan Annie decoder ring and he's listening to the radio and they're giving out the secret message that you can only decode with your little decoder ring that has the numbers and the letters matched.
Oh, I remember seeing
and,
that scene.
He like twists it. He's like, "Be sure to drink your Ovaltine."
That's right. Yeah, I've seen that part. Yeah, I've seen that. Never mind. I've seen that.
Classic scene. I love it.
All right, but moving on to Forge, which is why we have Pete here. This is Pete's play corner, I bet.
I love Forge.
So do you want to talk about it? Do you want to run through the parts since you're the Forge master of all of us here?
Okay, I'll just read it in monologue form. Existing in Halo 3. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, that's not going to fly. Sorry.
No, I mean, it's really exciting. They shared, they gave us some information on all 3 of the Forge specific maps, Impact, Ravine, and Erosion. We've seen those in the past couple weeks. And then the really great thing that BS Angel did for us is she gave us a list of almost all of the Forge objects that are available to us. And I dug through that list and I enjoyed every moment of it. There's a lot of cool stuff in there. And of course, there's stuff that's missing that she didn't tell us about yet. But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. So wait, let's talk about the maps first. Does that sound good?
We can talk about them a little bit. We've talked about them on the previous show and I did a video summary. But we can talk about them a little bit. Impact, though,
everyone
outer
is
space.
Everyone's going to start forging on Impact. That's the first thing they're going to do.
Well, I have a feeling there's going to be quite a few people that go to Ravine and remix some of the Halo Reach ones. Like, everyone that listens to the podcast know one of my favorites is Speed.
Oh, gosh. Don't do that to me. Don't do that. You're going to do that to me? Oh, man.
Speed, I love Speed.
Low gravity. Are you talking about low gravity Spartan lasers?
No. I'm talking about the one where you're in the Warthog and there's the zombie at the bottom and you just keep on going on and on and on.
Okay, I know what you're talking about now.
It's Speed and Darth's mind.
You gave me this horrible flashback to all those games where it was like low gravity, super speed, Spartan laser on Valhalla.
Oh, you mean
and
laser tag.
Just flying around.
Oh, laser cats. I love
that
laser
cats.
Cats.
Yeah, laser tag, laser
cats.
Oh,
man.
Oh, gosh.
That takes me
way
back.
I did not like that.
Oh, I mean, not way back, but it takes me a little ways back to those Halcyon laser cat days of war.
I was not a big fan of laser cats either. Yeah.
You know what? That's going to be coming back. You're going to join someone's custom game party, and there's just going to be people flying everywhere with red laser beams shooting across the map.
Shout out to my friend JBurton90, who played Laser Cats with me constantly in the Halo 3 days. And every time we had a kill, you had to yell out, "Laser Cats!"
Why do I have a feeling this is going to be part of like a custom night that we're going to start up in Halo 4? No. And we have Ragnarok, so now we have Valhalla basically back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why I've been having nightmares for the past couple weeks, because those darn laser cats. Can we talk about something else now?
Yeah, let's talk about something exciting.
Let's go back to Impact.
Yeah.
Because that's the new... Great. That's probably one of the Forge environments that I'm most excited about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks good. It's very clean, very white. And we're looking at the list of Forge objects that BS Angel put out. It looks like Impact is the only one that's going to have access to the UNSC station structure pieces, all those fancy tunnels and base structure pieces. So I think it's going to be a really good map to forge on. Definitely.
I'm sure we're going to see a few maps where it's you have the normal gravity inside the bases and then kind of the low gravity going through from like tunnel to tunnel or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could remake a boarding action and make it low gravity in between so you can jump from one side to the other.
Oh my goodness.
Someone needs to get on that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do we have enough teleporters to do that with? And what would you do for ladders? Well, I guess you could just do gravity lifts.
Yeah.
How many teleporters were on boarding action? Because I thought there were...
There are only like four or something.
No, there's at least eight.
I'm not sure.
From what I can remember, I think there's at least eight.
I wonder how many teleporters we have, because we're still waiting for a Chiron remake.
There's actually been a couple. I remade one in Halo 3 on Foundry before, and what I did was for some of the teleporters, I just did shield doors. It kind of worked.
A little bit.
In Halo 3, we had eight of each teleporter node type, and same thing in Reach.
We had 12.
No, we had eight, I thought.
No, we had 12 total
in Reach. Mm-hmm. Or was it? What? No. There had to be 16.
There's 12 total teleporter pieces, so you can make like eight separate pairs or whatever.
Okay. Okay.
No. The Xbox 720.
That math doesn't work. Six separate pairs, because you got 12, so it'd be six.
But you still had the two-way teleporters that would work too.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Impact looks great.
Looking good.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And it really shows off, for the most part, how their dynamic lighting affects the Forge pieces and the environment.
Oh, yeah.
That's really cool.
That lighting is just gorgeous. I mean, I hope people understand how awesome that is. It's going to make Forge maps really, really shine.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I even noticed in one of the gameplay videos, it looked like the player was casting a shadow on their weapon. I don't know if I was going crazy, but I think I saw that on Exile. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
You heard it here first, folks. Pete the Duck says players cast shadows on their weapons.
I thought I saw that. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I did.
I wouldn't see why not.
Yeah. But shadows. Shadows cool. are yeah. in Halo 4.
Everybody loves shadows. Shadows make things look good.
I like shadows.
Well, it makes things look realistic.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. That makes them look good because it looks realistic.
Right. Right. So
it's going to make your Forge map look decent. Casual Halo player.
Yep. What do you think of erosion?
I think, well, you know, they came out and they said that erosion is designed for a new forger, someone that's, you know, they want a map that's kind of already really developed so they can just put down a couple structures and they basically have a finished product already. I kind of think that a lot of people are going to go to erosion, even if they're like really familiar with Forge, just because it's so visually different to everything we've had so far. I think Erosion is going to be kind of like the secretly popular Forge map. I think people are going to really like it. Maybe they won't necessarily use the surface. Maybe they'll forge down above the green water or something like that. But I think it looks really cool.
I'm interested to see how far, actually for all the maps, how far out they go. Because we talked about how or they've kind of mentioned how far out you can go on Ravine, but there's we really don't know how far out into the cave on Erosion that you can go and how far out into the middle of space that you can go on Impact.
The maps feel... Now, you got to keep in mind, we've been spoiled in Halo Reach. We've had Forge World, which is ridiculous. And so these Forge maps, looking at the videos, not actually playing them, they look and feel a lot smaller. When you're watching the videos, they look like they're really confined. But the truth is, Forge World was kind of ridiculous. I mean, if you make a map, you're using like a tiny fraction of Forge World. You don't need that huge space. So I think this actually makes a lot more sense. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and it, in my opinion, it doesn't really need to be as big as Forge World because you rarely use saw custom games where you were using.
Yeah, I mean, there's no custom game that used for, all of Forge World.
Yeah, well, there was a few racetrap maps, but other than that, you really didn't do it for any other kind of game type, or at least any popular one.
Yeah, and you can look at maps like Relay that was made on Impact, and you know it doesn't touch the ground anywhere, so they were able to build that out in space, and so there should be enough room for
space.
People to do that.
Space.
I've been waiting since Anchor 9 to be able to forge in space. I was really disappointed that you could not forge in space with Anchor 9.
Yeah, you can't really go out that far.
No, you can't. Impact.
Impact, yay!
But yeah, Erosion looks cool. Ravine looks like Forge World, but...
just different parts.
Nice paint job. Shadows. It's got shadows. So yeah. I think a lot of people are going to like Ravine because it's familiar, and it'll look good when they're making maps like Hemorrhage. You know, I think it has a good aesthetic. So I think it'll still be popular, even though people are, you know, sick of gray or whatever.
It is nice to see the different kind of color palettes, though.
Mm-hmm.
Not the gray and green from Forge World.
Yeah.
I'm ready for BTB in space!
Oh, gosh, I just realized. You know, now you're going to have laser cats in space.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you shouldn't have said anything.
No, I know, I shouldn't have. It's like all my nightmares are coming true.
Oh, boy. On that note... Let's move on to some of the little tidbits of Forge pieces that kind of have piqued our interest. First off, we have confirmed a mounted machine gun turret, a mounted plasma cannon, which is the Covenant plasma turret, basically.
It looks like, and I've seen it in some gameplay videos, it looks like the machine gun is a lot more accurate than it was in Halo Reach.
I honestly couldn't tell you. I haven't used it.
I haven't used it either.
The armor.
Like watch.
it seems that you can pick up armor abilities. There's an option in there where you can place down armor abilities, so they're not just tied to your loadout, but you can still pick them up like you can in Halo Reach.
That'll be useful for custom games.
Yep.
Because in Halo Reach, you could assign them game type labels, so you can do all kinds of fun stuff with that.
I didn't even know you could really do that.
Yeah, like you can make a sprint be a safe haven, and then in an affection game, like you can have one player. Yeah, you can have one player actually pick up the safe haven and carry it around with them because it's attached to the armor ability.
What? I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. Gosh, so we have a little Forge quack right here in the show.
Right.
Jeez.
Oh yeah, I should make a video about that.
That's another little nuance of Forge that I didn't know you could do. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I know you could do that for stuff like golf balls, but I didn't know you could do that for like pickup items. So could you make like a battle rifle a hill or something?
No, you can. Yes, you can give a battle rifle a label and give it a shape. But as soon as your player actually picks it up, for some reason, the shape disappears. It works for armor abilities, but it doesn't work for weapons.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's still cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do with Forge.
Yeah. Forge is like... this massive beast that I can never, like, slay. It's like I know that I could try my hardest to try and be a creative forger, but I know there's just too much there.
Dun-dun.
Well, that's why I think stuff like the magnetism that they're putting in is great.
Oh, those are going to be a godsend to people.
it's going to make Forge a lot more approachable for people that think, oh, well, if I try to make a map, it would be ugly. Well, no, because now everything lines up for you and, you know, just go in there and mess around. And I think you'll end up with something that looks great and has shadows. So you can't go wrong.
I made a decent looking map. It just doesn't play very well.
Oh, don't tell anyone that.
Looks good. Plays bad. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yep. We also have gadgets returning, so that's explosives like fusion coils, man cannons, the new gravity volumes, which we were introduced to, player trait zones, teleporters, shields, special effects, which I really don't care for, but they're in there anyways.
I hate special effects.
Sometimes when they're used right, which is rarely, but when they're used right, they can be effective.
When are they used right?
One time.
Other than, like, screenshots.
I saw one time there was a special effect used on an infection map, and it actually worked, but that's just once. I just don't care for them. They give me a headache. I just don't like it.
I like them for screenshots, but that's the only time.
Yeah.
It's the only time.
There seem to be less special effects this time around. Like, we don't have orange or green or purple or any of that.
Yeah.
Which I don't really care about because I don't like them.
It doesn't really matter too much because those are just colors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think many people use them anyways. We have the toys. We have the soccer ball, dice, kill balls, all that stuff. The lights are returning. Hopefully you can use more than just two. That got kind of annoying.
Halo Yahtzee. I'm waiting on it.
There's the whole spawn points. There are the ordnance drops. There are objectives, and this is where it starts to get interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take over, Pete?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff for something called extraction. And as far as I know, extraction hasn't been talked about before. We don't really know what it is, but apparently there's a decal and a bunch of crates, small, medium, and cylinder. So I don't know. I mean, is this... Extraction sounds like you're trying to maybe like the third round in an invasion map where you're trying to get something out of the map or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what extraction could be. It's a mystery.
Yeah. And I was thinking something like Invasion 2 when I first originally saw it. But since I don't think there's invasion going to really be in the game, and they're crates of all things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what is
what's in the crate?
Mm-hmm.
What's in the box?
Yeah, I don't know what exactly those are for.
Now, it says extraction targets. So I don't know if you're trying to destroy them, maybe?
I have no... Why would you try to destroy something you're trying to extract?
It doesn't make sense.
Why wouldn't it be called destruction? Maybe it's not supposed to make sense.
We'll find out in less than 2 weeks.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Dominion... There's a whole list just for Dominion. So
oh my goodness.
Dominion is going to be a forgeable game type that you can do on basically every map. And they give you basically all the pieces to make a Dominion base.
Yeah,
every single piece.
What if you stacked all of these pieces together and made one huge giant base?
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Super Eek. Dominion.
Yeah.
Eek.
I'm ready. My body is ready.
There's
Eagle Path Mantis gets me excited.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff for Dominion. I like the turrets. I don't know. Those intrigue me. I wonder what can be done with them.
Well, so you know what you've seen the turrets on the top of the base, right?
Yeah, yeah. After you, I guess, should we talk about Dominion? From my understanding, it's like you capture a base, and then over time that base grows and it gets turrets and vehicles and stuff like that and becomes stronger. And so I guess that's what all these game type labels are for.
Yeah. So if you've seen the gameplay footage, Bravo MLG put up some explanation of how Dominion actually works. So if you haven't seen that video, go over and check it out. But yeah, so you capture a base, it gets fortified, and then every like 45 seconds or so, it gets reinforced with weapon drops and vehicle spawns that you can use for your team. And then shield doors come up, which only your team can pass through unless you take them out if you're on the other team. And then there's turrets that get resurrected and help defend the base.
Yeah. It sounds cool. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of stuff that you might be able to do with it. Maybe not necessarily the way that 343 intends us to play with it.
Yeah, well, that's the whole beauty of kind of giving people the option to use Forge and see what they come up with.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to getting my hands on Dominion.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I mean, you look at all the different Forge pieces they give for it. It looks like it's definitely going to be a big emphasis in Halo 4.
Right. So other than what we see for Dominion and Extraction is going to be an interesting one to see what that actually is. But we have scenery objects, which are standard stuff. You have camping stool, folding chair, street cone, barricades, crates, sandbags, pallets. You have vehicles, you have structures, and for each one of the Forge maps, you have their own special set of structures. And then I'm assuming for the rest of these, they're kind of divvied out between the other maps. And each map probably has its own kind of certain subset of the rest of these. But almost everything within the Forge menus are in the bulletin, so make sure you go check it out because it's a long list of things.
Yeah, one of the things that really stood out to me is now you can put down a single sandbag. If a sandbag wall was too many sandbags, you can just put down one.
That's pretty funny.
Just one sandbag. One will be enough.
Get behind this.
Yeah, just put your head here. To wrap up the bulletin, we have an announcement of the War Games Map Pass. So this is for the people who didn't get a chance to order the limited edition. And what this is for $25. I think it's $25. Yeah. You can pay for this pretty much kind of like, it's kind of like the season pass, like it is for Borderlands 2, where you get this and you get all the DLC. So this will include the three DLC map packs, which we have the release months and the title of the packs with the name of the maps in each one. And also, if you either pre-ordered the limited edition or if you buy this War Games map pass, you get all three DLCs, plus you get two in-game helmets and a special in-game emblem. And this is what kind of we were alluding to earlier. With a certain helmet. So the Strider helmet is pretty typical helmet with the overly sized visor. What's the one in Halo 3 that kind of looks like that? I forget.
Extra vehicular activity.
Yeah, the EVA helmet. The Ava. Yeah. So it kind of looks similar to that. And then there's the scanner one, which I'll let you kind of break the ice on that one, Brent.
Yes, scanner helmet looks like a floppy disk drive.
5 inch.
So, if your Spartan needs to load up
5 1/4
Windows,
inch.
Like 3.5, you're good to go. Yeah.
Our first computer that we had at home was a Windows 3.5 machine, and it had one of those giant floppy drives.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Well, now your Spartan can access that same operating system through his helmet.
Actually, the OS was pre-installed, and we had Quicken on the floppy drives. You also get a unique in-game emblem, which is a Falcon emblem, so you have that as well.
That Falcon looks mad.
It is mad. It's a mad Falcon.
One mean Falcon.
It's mad because it didn't get included in the original version.
Aww.
Just imagine how you can intimidate people with that emblem right there. So go grab the War Games map pack.
Does my emblem intimidate you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid of my bird?
Caw!
Look at my bird and fear my skills.
Fear my skills? Really? Okay. The three map packs that we're going to get are the Crimson map pack, which comes out this December, which is a quick turnaround time. The Majestic map pack, which comes out in February, and then the Castle map pack, which comes out in April. In the first map pack, we have Wreckage, Harvest, and Shatter. In the second map pack, we have Landfall, Monolith, and Skyline. And then in the third one, we have Daybreak, Outcast, and Perdition. We have some concept art that are kind of tied to some of these names, so we don't really have any screenshots. It's hard to tell how exactly the maps are going to really feel like, except for the castle map packs. The concept art in those really gives you probably the best idea out of all the maps, how the maps actually look like.
It's hard to tell, like, if you look at the image for Harvest, like, how you have no idea what the map is actually going to be laid out as.
Well, you can kind of tell that there's a base over there on the left, and then it looks like just a bunch of rocks that have been thrown into this giant pit of something.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really great concept art. I mean, that's wallpaper stuff right there.
Yeah.
Stuff Easy. Dreams are made of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I've already downloaded almost all the images on this bulletin and have it in my wallpaper rotation cycle. The one map that kind of sticks out to me the most, I think, is Daybreak. At least for me personally.
That looks like the scene at the end of Halo Reach. You know, the after the credits scene where
you
hear Cortana talking, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. I can see that. But it looks like there's one big main base, and it looks like there's a couple of... It looks like it might be the UNSC Infinity in the background.
No.
That's or way some too other, small. Or some other Forerunner, or not Forerunner, UNSC ship.
Yeah.
And then you have a smaller base, and that looks like it's going to be more of a kind of a one-sided objective map.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. And the cool thing about all these maps is, you know, they say that we'll be able to forge on all 10 of the maps included with Halo 4, so I imagine we'll be able to forge on all these too.
Yes. Yeah, we will.
Forge away.
Skyline is another interesting one. That's kind of my second favorite of the set.
Yeah, I'm really curious. They give a lot of different pictures for that one, so I like everything that I see. I just don't know exactly which one is most representative of the map that's going to come out.
Yeah, and where it fits in. It's definitely multi-tiered, so kind of almost a sword-based vibe to it.
Yeah, this is definitely...
You can
definitely...
tell that it's a very small map, 4v4.
Skyline?
I'm joking.
Okay.
It looks larger than the other maps.
All right.
But I might be wrong. It might be like a, you know, 6v6 style map.
It's Maybe. Interesting because
possibly
it's definitely some kind of human populated planet here, where some of these other ones could definitely be like Forerunner and.
Well, this is war games, so this is it. The simulations are based off of places that they've been and recorded. So this isn't necessarily all supposed to be on Requiem.
So what if humans found the other Halos and they're like, yo, let's just live on these?
I doubt that happened.
And that's what Skyline's on.
Be funny if it did, but doubt that happened. The two that are most vague to me are Wreckage and Landfall. Because Landfall, honestly, that looks specifically like a wallpaper. It doesn't look like a multiplayer map of any kind.
Yeah, I mean, wow, okay, it looks really cool, but where is the map in that?
Exactly. I
mean, is it like Epitaph?
Oh, goodness gracious. Everyone's if we have another Epitaph, map. I do not like Epitaph. That's probably my least favorite map in Halo 3 was Epitaph. I did not care for that map.
What? You're going to tell me that you liked, what was it called? What was that one? The Flood one. It wasn't Infection. It was Isolation.
Yeah, that was...
It was all right.
No, I didn't like it that much.
I'd rather
I actually
play
liked Epitaph better.
Yeah.
No joke.
Yeah, that one was rough.
It just wasn't fun.
Well, and if you knew how to play the map, you could squeeze the flag through the windows.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
That little
glitch. That was actually the best part of that map.
Yeah.
To me, it was just cheating. Like, here, take this flag, run it through the middle, and then throw it to the other base.
Yep.
You guys remember when you could throw the flag up from what was Reflection called first? It was
Ivory Tower.
Ivory Tower. You could throw it up from the bottom.
Yeah.
And the same thing on Zanzibar.
Yeah. You could do that on Colossus with the conveyor belt. You could throw the flag down on the conveyor belt, and it would bounce up all the way up to the other base.
That was awesome. That was a good map. You know, I miss... why can I not remember any of these map names? It was one of the DLC maps for Halo 3 with the big satellite dishes on it.
Standoff?
Standoff. I love Standoff.
Yeah, Standoff.
That was a great map. And one of the cool things about Halo 4, as much as we love all these old maps, is that there's like one remake map and the rest are brand new, which is actually really good because we got a lot of remakes so far.
Yeah.
So it's going to be nice to get some brand new maps.
Hopefully one of them is excellent.
And
at least one.
I think looking at these concept art, it's probably safe to say that none of these are probably remakes, maybe. They don't look like any, like they would fit as remakes of anything.
Yeah, which is interesting because usually there's at least a couple of remakes into two or three of the DLC packs. But no, it does not look like any of these are remakes of any kind.
Well, Skyline's description says Skyline's distinctly industrial feel provides new challenges in somewhat familiar but occasionally confined spaces. So I'm thinking that Skyline might be a spiritual successor to one of the old maps, maybe. I don't know.
Hmm.
No clue.
Hmm.
But
Fair
that
enough.
Sentence
Fair
kind
enough.
Of alludes to the idea of it maybe being kind of a remake a little bit.
I mean, if Landfall is something like Epitaph, maybe that's one of the remakes.
Landfall is a remake of... I have no clue. Is that water?
I don't know what that is.
I mean, that's
no,
water,
it,
isn't it?
No, it has. It's in space. It's in the asteroid field, it looks like.
Space water.
Space water.
Yeah.
I think they call that ice.
Yeah.
It's got a big kill ball in it.
Or it's like the eye from Mordor or something like that. Okay.
No, it's just hard to imagine a map coming. I mean, it's a cool piece of art.
Yeah, but it's like, like you said, where's the map?
Mm-hmm. Where's the beef? Where is the map?
I missed the reference, sorry.
It was a Wendy's commercial reference, I'm sorry. It outdates me.
Oh,
I don't know how
okay,
I know it.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about now. All right. Moving on, we have a couple of email submissions that we're going to shoot through real quick and get them out of the way since we're running a little bit over. So first one comes from Eon Switchblade. He writes, "Hey Podtech, enjoying the show. Halo 4 is slow because I can taste it. Slow close? Oh wow, you missed that edit, Brent.
No, I edited these. Refresh your page.
Oh, okay. My bad. Sorry, guys. Restarting that one. Eon Switchblade writes, "Hey, Podtech, enjoying the show. Halo 4 is so close I can taste it, and the podcast is helping me keep me occupied during the wait. I also like how you guys are breaking down each episode of Forward Unto Dawn. I'm looking forward to seeing how the series plays out. There's something small I noticed. If you listen closely to the scene in episode 3 where Lasky gets the papers out, gets the paper about his allergies, you can hear the Two Galaxy melody playing in the background." I didn't quite notice that, but that's an interesting take. That makes me wonder if other songs from Halo 4 official soundtrack will be in Forward Unto Dawn. Anyways, keep up the good work and keep on fracking those mechs." Not to Brent. Very nice.
Yes. Well, I mean, mechs are the new thing to frag.
I've definitely heard bits of the Halo 4 soundtrack in Forward Unto Dawn already. So, yeah, they're definitely, I think, using assets from Halo 4 soundtrack, and they probably have some other custom stuff that they have in there as well.
Yo, how do we save money? Use these. Take these.
Exactly. The next one's a novel, and I asked Brent pre-show to do a summary. So, Brent, why don't go ahead and hit us with that summary?
It's a long summary too. So, but I mean, it's shorter than the actual submission.
That's good.
Cameron Curtis wrote in with a novel, so here's a summary of the submission. And I wrote
a synopsis.
It is a synopsis. I'm assuming that Cameron is a guy. It is possible that it's a girl, but I use the pronoun he, so. He's new to the Halo games, and he's been reading the books since the beginning. He's finally getting an Xbox with the release of Halo 4. He points out that Lasky is introduced in the Thursday War, and that he's more of a strategist than a fighter. He also points out that the Spartan in Forward Unto Dawn Episode 3 is Fred, not John. Cameron goes on to speculate that Lasky receives Cortana's distress signal from the Forward Unto Dawn first because he stays out of cryostasis on the Infinity during long jumps due to his allergy. So he never actually goes into cryostasis. You know, I mean, that's a speculation.
That's a good speculation.
Yeah. Cameron also speculates that the red Cortana is a copy of herself that she created to delay her rampancy. In Forward Unto Dawn, Episode 1, General Black looks up into the sky, suggesting that he was aware of a possible Covenant invasion. Cameron also says that Forward Unto Dawn is helpful in understanding human motives before and after the Human Covenant War. His gamertag is going to be Ridgeback TTF when he finally joins live. And just a little tip to you, you don't have to have an Xbox to get an Xbox Live gamertag. All you got to do is go to Xbox.com and you'll be able to register for a silver membership. But as long as you do that, you'll be able to reserve your gamertag.
Gosh, we just got an Xbox 101 from Brent, too. Wow, we are going on the sub shows today, aren't we? We had a Forge Quack, and now we have an Xbox 101.
We need Xbox Quacks. It's going to be a new series.
Xbox Quacks. Very nice.
That sounds like something else.
We won't go there.
Yeah, let's not go there.
You want to take the last one? All right, do you have the show notes open? Yes, you.
Should I read it?
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Blue Flash.
He said,
just got done listening to your latest podcast about Halo 4, Forward Unto Dawn, Episode 3. At the end of the episode, you guys were talking about Dima and if she knew about the Covey, which I don't believe she did. I'm shocked no one brought up the fact that she is dead now. The Covey blew up the space tether after Dima and the others took the elevator up. At the very end of Episode 3, you can hear people screaming and see them falling out of the sky. And, he goes on to say how violent the Covenant are and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We definitely mentioned that people were dying and that the space elevator got knocked out. I distinctly remember that. I don't know if you just like missed that part of the show, but I don't think we necessarily brought up the fact that Dima was specifically dead, but we did say that the Covenant destroyed the space elevator and everyone was raining down screaming. And I remember Halo Fan for Life actually mentioning the eerie sound of hearing the people screaming and falling through the windows. So we definitely did talk about it.
I think that was the best part of the episode.
of Forward Unto Dawn?
Part 3.
Dima,
I mean, come on. No one was expecting that. You never saw that coming.
Oh, and then I saw it coming a mile away.
Well, you knew you didn't know the individual bodies were going to fall. You knew, like, maybe the thing that they were riding in, the elevator or something.
True.
That was something. It was definitely something.
I mean, just from the lead up, though, you knew the Covenant were coming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You knew it was a bad thing to be on that elevator.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Watching the ODSTs drop in, that was cool.
That was awesome.
Sweet.
And then the Elite cut the statue in half.
Yeah.
Even
shaking the ground with his foot.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the preview for Part 4?
Yeah, but we don't talk about it that much because we're going to talk about it in Forward Unto Dawn. But yeah, did see it.
Yeah, I'm definitely...
A certain Spartan. Yeah.
I'm definitely loving this Forward Unto Dawn series. I mean, this is great.
It's fantastic.
Kelly, right?
Oh, you're such a joker. All right. That wraps up the show for us, guys. I want to say thank you again very much to Pete the Duck for coming on the show and allowing us to pick his brain.
It was great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And I hope you enjoyed it and it wasn't too much of a bad experience.
Yeah.
You guys will always be my first.
Yay.
We're sorry. No, I'm joking.
Don't apologize. That's terrible.
Oh, that's...
I hope we were good enough.
That's funny.
No one start crying.
Aw, Brent's going to miss you. All right. Well, we will definitely have you on in the future when we dive into more Halo 4 Forge stuff when the game actually comes out and all the secrets will be out or all the secrets will be there to be discovered. So cool.
Yeah. Anytime. I'd love to come back. It was fun.
We will definitely have you back. Thanks again, guys, for listening to this show. Hopefully, it's been very informative for you guys. Like always, you can find us on our website, podtackler.com, and you can also find our forums over there and interact with some of our other community members. We have one more Monday Night Matchmaking up for grabs, so by the time you're hearing this, it'll be very close. It's going to be Monday, October 29th, and we start at 8:30 p.m., starting off with some big team matchmaking. And after about an hour and a half, 2 hours, we go into some Reach Customs, and then about an hour after that, if people are still online, we go into some Halo 3. So if that sounds interesting to you, if you need to kind of get your senses back, warmed back up for some Halo action, then feel free to hop on over. We may have to split parties because we had a pretty big one come in last time. So keep an eye out on our Twitter for people to send requests to get invited to the event. You can also find us on Twitter, twitter.com/podtacular, Facebook, facebook.com/podtacular, and then our YouTube channel, youtube.com/podtactv, where we will be releasing content when the game comes out. And that's a wrap, guys.
And if you're bored waiting for Halo 4, go to ilovethebees.com.
That too. Yeah. And we will see you guys on our next show, which should be Forward Unto Dawn episode 4.
We have 5 shows coming out per day, right?
Per day?
Yes, leading up to Halo 4.
No, we have...
We're doing 5 a days.
Oh my goodness.
You guys should just do 24/7
honestly do not. I honestly do not have the time to do that.
Got to reach episode 400 before Halo 4 comes out.
Not going to happen, sorry. We might get to 343, but not 400. I'm not going to try to get to 343. If we get there, fine, but I'm not going to try. Because I leave Thursday to go to Dallas.
What if we do our own little ARG, where we hide little bits and pieces of the podcast, gracious, and they have to find it like individually and piece it together?
That's a great idea. Oh, boy.
Sounds good to me.
And just so you guys know, the ending music for this is actually going to be a remix of a track that was put together by King Louis 501, which is the same person that did the Beaver Zone song for us. If you remember way back when the Halo Reach beta was out, Brent and I were talking about playing in the Beaver Zone, and he did a little karaoke mix for that. And he has put a mix, so that's going to be the outro music. I hope you guys enjoy it. If you do, there will be a link in the show notes where you can go and listen to it on SoundCloud. So go over there, leave a comment on the track somewhere, let them know Podtacular sent you, and we wish him the best of luck in the competition.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Here's hoping.
Thanks again, guys, for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Keep on fragging those extraction crates.
Yep.